rape into heaven because we were sort of vaguely good. Yeah? Jesus washed us, he cleansed us, and he transformed us to be his bride. And that's us. Right. Now, we might say, and I was thinking about this quite a lot, and I wasn't quite sure where it happened. And then I thought, I don't care. As far as I'm concerned this morning, you know, some might say I think it happened here, some there. And overall, we can sort that out. But so bear with me, you might find out where I'm going. Some might say we will be his bride when he returns. So he's going to come, he's going to collect up his church, and we will be his bride. We will be transformed. And I'm sure there's an awful lot of absolute truth in that. Yes. But we know we are being transformed now. From glory to glory. I know I am... have been changed more than I was 5 years ago. If I think what I was like 5 years ago, and I look, yes, I could go. Bill Johnson once, I think it was Bill Johnson, somebody from Bethel said, if you would think of yourself from 5 years ago, and you'd like to go back and slap yourself around the face, yeah, you know you're progressing. Yeah? I can identify with that. So we're being transformed from glory to glory. He's moulding us. Now, so that's not at the end when he returns, that's now. Yeah? Now, we might say we became the bride of Christ when Jesus died on the cross for us. So 2,000 years, he did it then. He was nailed to the cross. It was done. And we take advantages of that now. And we feel the benefits of that, but it happened then. Yeah, okay. We might say that we became the bride of Christ when we gave our lives to him. When we became born again. And that's when it happened. Yeah. And as I said just now, okay, you believe any one of those that you want. I can't see how it makes a lot of difference one way or the other, maybe for some things. So, but we can say right now that we are being transformed as the Holy Spirit works in us and transformed us. And we are the bride of Christ. We have been the bride of Christ. Or maybe some might think we become the bride of Christ. I'm not happy about that one, but I'm not going to argue about it this morning. So, we are or we will be the bride of Christ. And I really feel strongly about this, and my brain can't get hold of it totally, that each one of us is the bride of Christ. Yeah, I thought for sort of, yeah, okay, bride of Christ, the church, he died for his church, and I'm a little itsy bitsy little thing over there, part of that. Yeah, and he died for everybody, yeah, and people kept on saying, yeah, but if you were the only one, he would have died for you. And I used to think, really, oh, really? Can't quite, but he didn't, because it was everybody, and yeah, it's a nice sort of... But actually, the closer I get, I really, really believe that. That you, individually, are the bride of Christ. And we all together are the bride of Christ. So that when you see him eye to eye, you will know that he has chosen you. And that he loves you. And it'll be that eye-to-eye contact, and you will know that you are loved for who you are, because he loves you. And that's, I can't quite get my head around that. But okay, can we have a look at the next one? So, Revelation, let's have a look that we are the bride of Christ before I get too far ahead of myself. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen for purity. Yes, no stain or wrinkle. Yes, fine linen for priesthood. The priests used to wear that. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down as out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride. So we are the new Jerusalem. We are the bride. We are the city. Dressed for her husband beautifully. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And the one who hears say, come. That's when Jesus says, I'm coming. Look, I'm coming. And the Spirit and the bride say, yes, come. We're ready. We're waiting. We can't. It's amazing. And let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. So that's the Spirit and the bride. And they're still inviting people. Come, come. It's amazing. Sorry, and the next one. So Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. So Jesus is giving us this picture as he's going round. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused. That's referring to the Jewish nation, I think, mainly. So then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. Come to the wedding banquet. So, and they wouldn't come. We know the story. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, including the Gentiles. That's us. The bad as well as the good. That's us. And the wedding hall was filled with guests because that's what he wanted. He wanted everybody there. Sorry, and the next one, yeah. And at that time, the kingdom of heaven would be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. That's 5 were foolish. So again, we've got more references to this kingdom of heaven and the gathering up his bride to be there. And we need to be to have that light, to be it living in us. Yeah. Okay, and the next one. There we go. I found it eventually. It took me ages. This is the bride of Christ. And isn't that beautiful? And isn't that, and there's the bride of Christ, and isn't it beautiful, and isn't that beautiful? We are all beautiful parts of the bride of Christ, but in our own rights, we are beautiful. I thought it was maybe an analogy of trying to get around it. Okay, and the next one, the bride of Christ. I deliberately chose that one because I was thinking about this quite a lot. I thought, bride of Christ, I was seeing us dressed in white with a big veil going down a country church. Yes? This is Jewish bride of Christ. You know, we've imposed all that. Not saying it's not going to be like that, but somebody a bit different. How will this bride of Jesus' bride? Maybe it'll all be different. Carrying her light. Yes. Individually looking eye to eye, knowing that we are loved. Okay, and the next one. Had to include that one. The bride of Christ with a sword in her hand. We don't often think of that one. Oh, isn't she nice? Isn't she pretty? Can I have some cake now? Yeah? The bride of Christ has got the sword of God in her hand. Yes? She is strong and equipped for battle. She is beautiful. She is dressed in white. But she is powerful and has more than enough power and strength in her, as we will see again in a minute. Okay, next one. Okay. All right. So, we are the bride of Christ. At some point, either then, now, in the past, whatever. Okay, a second point. Well, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a nice one to start, but I want to look down here. I am convinced that neither death nor life, no, angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Okay. Neither the present nor the future. What's missing? What's missing out of that? Neither the present nor the future. Somebody said it. Somebody said it. The past. Yeah. We don't have access to the past. The past is gone. Jesus bought it on the cross. Yeah. If we keep going back into our past and think, oh, this happened, that happened, they did that, you know, we're going to end up in all sorts of trouble. We don't have access to the past, but we've got the present and we have the future, which we'll see again in a moment. Next one. And the next one, please. It's the same one. Just all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future are all yours. I first heard this in the Bill Johnson talk. He was going through that. This is the things that are ours. He described it as the will being read. Now, you've gone and you're mentioned in the will, yes, and this is what you're going to inherit. All things. Yes. The present or the future, they're all yours. They've been given to you in Christ. We are the bride of Christ, and the present is given to us, and the future is given to us. We have access to the things in the future, now. So if you think you're going to be the bride of Christ, and we'll just sort of hang on and sit down in our pews and carry on until we become the bride of Christ, we can do that. But we have access to everything that is there promised for us in heaven right now. That's amazing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is here. It is now. But I will be the bride of Christ one day. Yeah, okay. But you have access to everything that is for you, everything that the bride of Christ can have right now. That's really important, I feel. Just to underline that, two things. One I've mentioned already, the wedding at Cana. Jesus said, when his mum told him about the wine, it's not my time, remember? And she said, oh, well, just do what he tells you. Yeah. It wasn't his time. Jesus said, it's not my time. We can't go around, oh, well, he got it wrong. No, it was not his time. But his time was coming, and he had access to everything in the future. So when she said, oh, go on, he took the power from the future and brought it into the present day and performed an amazing miracle. David, the biggest example of all of this as far as I'm concerned, how to worship in David's time was set down in the law, Leviticus. You did it with sacrifices, you know. But David didn't want to do that. David had a heart after God. Yes, David wanted to sing and dance and leap, and they didn't do it that way. That was reserved for us, after Jesus had risen. Yeah, but David said, no, I want it now. So he looked at God and said, can I do it now? And God said, okay. So he set up 24 hours singing, dancing, worshipping. His wife got really upset about it, remember? So we can have things from the future right now. Okay, if we're in the bride of Christ, and if we're empowered to have everything that implies, yeah, then what does that look like? Well, I think there's some really wonderful pointers in Proverbs where the book of wisdom ends the last thing, like summing it all up, maybe the most important bit, I don't know. The last bit, not even the last chapter, because there's a bit at the top, is all about what a good wife is like. And I think that is a pointer for the church. If that's what a good wife is like, and the church is going to be the wife of Christ, then there's got to be stuff in there that's going to help us understand. Now, before I look at any of that, I really want to emphasize what my beloved friend Dorothy said. We are the bride of Christ. We have been married. This is what a good wife is like. That is after the ceremony. This is not what we do so that Jesus will like us and we become saved. This is after we're in. We are after. Yes, it's done. Yes, and no divorce in heaven. Okay, can we have a look at the next one, please? Right. And the wife of noble character, who can find? Well, Jesus looked around. He couldn't find one. So he had to come and get one. Yes. She is worth far more than rubies. Yes, she was worth his blood. She was worth his death. His death. Yes. But he loved her so much, he was willing to pay that. Yeah, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Jesus has full confidence in you. If I was being slightly irreverent, I thought, if he has full confidence in me, he might want to think again. But no, he has full confidence in each one of us because he sees our potential. He sees the gold that's there. He's dying to draw it out, literally dying to draw it out. And he lacks nothing of value. Now, when I first read that, I started writing, oh, yeah, and we lack nothing of value. Yeah, because we're Christ's bride and he's got everything. So yeah, no, he lacks nothing of value. He doesn't think, oh, if only I had such and such, he's got you. He already owns the universe, but he has you. He loves you and he died for you. And now he feels he lacks nothing of value. That's what he wanted. God wanted to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden. That's what he made them, for that relationship. And now he's got a relationship with you. That's what he wanted. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. His church is bringing him good all the time. All things working together for good. Okay, next one. She selects wool and flax. We get to do things for him. And in that, we get to choose and express the creativity and passions in us to prosper the kingdom and our family. Yeah. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Yeah. We make stuff. We can do stuff and think he can create things through us. Yeah, she's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. We get to touch heaven and bring things from heaven for the people around us. She gets up while it's still night, provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. If it's dark, we can still be working because we have the light and bless those around us. Yeah. Oh, it's a bit dark out there. Ooh, it's scary out there. There's people who say Christians are a bit weird. But she can get up while it's still night and we can provide food for our family. That's us. And for everybody else. Because we are the bride of Christ. He is with us, in us. Okay, next one. She considers a field and buys it. Out for earnings, she plants a vineyard. I like that. She considers a field and buys it. Yes. No, don't get me too wrong. I'm not saying God won't tell us to do things. But we can see what's around us. Think, oh, that looks good. What resources have I got? I would like to do that. Father, I'd like to do that. That looks amazing. We don't have to be there waiting for the angel Gabriel to appear saying, Peter, I want you to go and do this. Yeah? It'd be nice sometimes, I think. Even then I said, sorry, a bit busy. Looks a bit difficult. Yes, can you ask somebody else? I have a nice brother. Okay, what has God given you? What around you looks like a golden opportunity? It may not be overnight, but she has earned resources. Yes? Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Out of her resources. Now, I'm not talking about money here. I don't think this is talking about money for us. It's the prayer, it's the seed we've sown, it's the waiting on God. Yes? Time spent with him. Okay. Next one. Thank you. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. The distaff is the thing that they used to use for spinning stuff, apparently. She gets her hands dirty. She gets in there. Yeah. She has things to do. Yeah. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. We are generous, we are compassionate and kind and not judgmental. Well, if they go and get a job, for goodness sake, they wouldn't need all these hands out, would they? Well, I've heard it said. Yeah. That's not what this is about. We are generous, compassionate and kind and helpful. Next one. Snow. Winter's coming. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Let's just do that one. Snow speaks to me of hard times when things turn difficult. We don't have to fear because our household is covered in scarlet. Scarlet, of course, is the colour of blood. and I believe my children are closer to heaven because I'm saved. I love them and God loves them, and he's aware of my love for them. They still have to make that choice, but there are scarlet clothes in the house, and my children know what they look like, and they know they have access to them if and when they wish. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Coverings for a bed make it more inviting, make it a beautiful place to be. Do we take time to make space for intimacy with our Jesus? Yeah, we do. We can do that. And he will come and he will join us. And he will spend time with us. And it will be amazing. We are clothed as a royal priesthood in linen and purple. Linen for the priest and purple for the king. This is nothing we have done, as I said. This is his gift to us, his provision for his bride. But do we wear these gifts to demonstrate to him and to others what our Jesus has done for us? Next one, her husband. Yep. Thank you. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. So this is how it should be if the church is doing his job. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our husband Jesus was respected in the place of local and national government because his bride had demonstrated his amazing stature and power and wisdom? She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. Yeah? And the next one. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. That's us. Strength, dignified, not worried about the future. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her. That's what the church can be. That's what a church should be. That's what we are. That's what we are. Next one. She watches over the affairs of a household. Not idle, we've covered that. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. We are praised by our husband. He loves us, he cares for us. Spend time with him and he will tell you how much he loves you. Scripture is full of him telling us how much he loves us. Creation is full of telling us how much he loves us. And next one. Oh, yeah, yes. When we muck up, we go, sorry, I mucked up. And we might say, oh, go on. You know, I know I deserve it. Tell me off. Yeah, say something. You are as beautiful as the day I lost you. Some of you may recognize the film. When we come to him, it's not about you got that wrong, you got this wrong, because we are his beautiful bride and he just, his love is unbelievable. And he just wants us to be there with him. It all gets washed away. The past is gone. We have the present and the future. Sorry, the next one. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honour her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. That's the last one. And at the end, we will be honoured for what we've done. Not because we've earned it, we are in heaven, but Paul goes on and on about running the race. Yes, for the storing up treasure in heaven. There is reward for those who work for him. Not the reward of salvation, but there is a crown that awaits us all. And we will be praised at the city gate. We are married for love and bought with such a price, and anything we do does not change that. But as his bride, we have opportunities to be rewarded as we diligently seek him and be about our father or our husband's business. It's the same thing. Paul spoke of running the race to get a prize. Jesus spoke about storing up treasure in heaven. It's not to make ourselves attractive to Jesus, but the joy-filled living out of the relationship we are in. And all of this is for us now. As we read the Gospels, we are encouraged again and again to receive, to be filled with abundant life. And it's all because he loves us. And that's what he wants for us. That's how he wants us to live. As his bride, or his beloved, working it out. We know all this. We know all this. But I just wanted to remind us this morning of just how much he cares for us and how much is available to us. Excuse me. I think as a church, we're moving into a new area, a new time, a new breakthrough. And I think we all need to be more and more ready, or maybe it's just me, that to step out, to be aware of who we are in Christ. Now, I've not written all this stuff out and because I think, oh, I've got this. I wish somebody else would get it. This is, I think, what I've been put on my heart about how much God loves me, how much is available to me, and what am I going to do about it. But first, I think, I know, it's that living in his presence, understanding how much he loves me. And if I muck it up, he still loves me. If I get it wrong, he still loves me. If I get it right, he still loves me. It's just living in that presence all the time. And I'd just like to finish with something I got from the Passion Translation emails. You can sign up for them if you don't get them. The person who wrote the Passion Translation, twice a week, I think, he'll send you a meditation or a thought based on something from the Passion Translation. I've put it on the back if anybody wants to read it. But I think this, it's not about the bride of Christ, but it sort of sums up, I think, part of the heart of what I've been talking about this morning. So I'd just like to read that to you. And can we go to the next one? It's quite long, but I think it's really good. Defeat is not in front of you, I am. Yes, you have eternal life, yet I breathe even more of my spirit upon you to make you new. Ride upon the wings of my spirit and soar higher than before. Worship gives you wings to fly, and my spirit gives you power. I decree over you this day, the battles of yesterday are over. When you feel powerless, I am near. When you feel empty, I come even closer to you. I am drawn to your need as a river is drawn into the lowest place. I will fill you and hover over you this day to give you strength and weakness, wisdom in your darkness, and grace in your difficulty. My works are always liberating. What I do in your life will always bring you into greater freedom. It is the enemy of your soul that restricts you and reminds you of your limitation. I will point you to the holy place where I have seated you on high. Listen to my voice, and strength will enter your inner being. So one more. Nothing will overcome you. Flood, fire, and storm cannot harm you. Defeat is not in front of you. I am. For I am the overcomer, the conqueror, the victor. I am at your side and bring you into triumph. Nothing will stop you as you move forward in my power. I am near you with a mighty sword to sever every chain and shackle that has kept you staying in one place when I have called you forward. Let me read that again. Nothing will stop you as you move forward in my power. I am near you with a mighty sword to sever every chain and shackle that has kept you staying in one place when I have called you forward. I say to you, your chains are cut, they are removed, and you will see them no more. Your feet are free to dance and to step out in faith. Your hands are set free to be raised in praise, waving as banners of glory, of victory. Your mouth is filled with high praises to bring others into the place of freedom. And your heart is now free to be filled with glory, unspeakable glory. As you step out in faith, more freedom will come to you. As you move out in triumph, you will see nothing but victory. Come with me and you will see one triumph after another. Have I not promised to make you the fragrance of life and victory? Leave every doubt behind and step out with me, and I will breathe more of my life into you and you will soar with me on the wings of the Spirit. Okay, thank you very much.